Send a movie idea.
Hello, and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage where no one will make any silly jokes about the news this week because it is absolutely fucked. I'm Joel, a man who usually scours the internet for quite a fun niche little news story, you know, to kind of make some silly gags in the intro, but it's pretty slim pickings this week. And across from me is John Harris, a man who I assume, like me, in the last few days has come the closest he has ever come to deleting all social media apps from his phone. Hi, John.
Hello, mate. How you doing? Good, bad?
I'm okay. Really depressing week for news. We might talk about it in the bit after the bit in the podcast. I think it's an interesting thing to talk about. John, would you like a movie idea from me?
Oh, gosh, yes, please.
Here's one from Dan, the punk panther. Inspector Clouseau must chase a jewel thief through the mosh pits of Europe.
Love it. Big fan.
Big fan? Big fan of punk or the Pink Panther? Or where are you coming at this from? Pink Panther with a big... What are those? What are they called? What's the bits of stationery called that punks like?
Safety pin.
Hole punch? Shatterproof ruler.
Yeah, they put a compass through their nose, right?
They put a compass through their nose and a protractor up their bum. And they go and watch the big show.
That's why they're all so good at maths. Famously, punks are great at maths.
Punks are so good at maths. Algebra in the UK was the famous Sex Pistols song, wasn't it?
On that subject, though, I was thinking maybe the jewel thief has stolen like a crystal safety pin. And it has it in his nose.
Nice. It was in the vault of the flagship Staples store in the UK. There was like a heist for the most elaborate pencil case ever made. And they've been taking it on stage with them and using it to hold their drugs, this band. There you go.
Clouseau
has to get it back.
Is that a famous hiding place for drugs?
It's one of those Lucozade can pencil cases. Yeah.
Oh, the Lucozade can pencil case. Take me back.
It's good. Do you know, I think that's the only time I've ever seen Lucozade in a can form.
That's true. It's very rare you see it in person. It's definitely much more of a bottle sort of situation.
It's a bottle boy. I don't think I've ever seen a can of Lucozade. And I would have thought, given the rise and rise and rise and rise and rise again of your monsters, your rock stars, your liquid death, which I saw for ages in shops and was scared by and then found out the other day that it's water. I would have thought that Lucozade would have tried to rebrand to a big can as one of their products.
Who's buying Liquid Death? Who's that for?
it's for the punks, John. It's cool water.
Sorry.
It's just spit.
Look, and you could, in 3 years' time, when we're sponsored by Liquid Death, you can find this clip and send it back to me.
I would love to be sponsored by Liquid Death. What do you say in a Liquid Death read?
It's good water.
Yeah, it's a can of water. But it's kind of cool. It's sort of punk rock because it's in a recyclable can.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to see what their mission statement is on their website. Liquid Death. Murder your thirst.
Shut the front door. It's not really that, is it?
Yeah, its tagline is murder your thirst.
That's good.
And in a very rock and roll move, it's, as of 2023, its water is canned by Wilderness Asset Holdings, LLC.
The most...
punk rock, baby.
The most hardcore LLC, I believe.
Don't be scared. It's just water. Steve-O's been on there doing some sort of stuff with it. What's Steve-O doing with a can of Liquid Death? Again, putting it in his bum.
Don't be scared. It's just... what you're the ones who called it Liquid Death.
Why? Liquid... Like water is quite literally liquid life, isn't it?
Do you think we would get sued if we set up Liquid Life?
What would it be?
Water.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I don't know if you can... Oh, John, the merchandise is some of the most embarrassing stuff I've ever seen in my life.
What, I'm going to give you some examples.
Well, a hoodie's about the most normal thing on here. You can get... Well, first of all, you can get your Steve-O all-natural voodoo doll. Fine. Actually quite interested in that just £135. You can get a hip flask for your water. Like you're fucking Lawrence of Arabia trekking across the desert. You could get You can get brown paper bags to put your can of liquid death in, so it looks like you're trying to surreptitiously drink it out of the New York subway.
This is amazing.
There's a ring of... There is a ring of death. There's a ring of death, which is the liquid death, which I may remind you is canned water. The ring of death logo. That's £215. £215 to wear a little advert on your finger. There's lunchboxes. There's socks. There is country club membership for $134,000. Now, John, how much can we claim on the...
taxes.
The taxes.
Green factory tax. Yeah.
Oh, I think... Oh, it's obviously just a bit of a joke thing on the... Right. Country club membership to Liquid Death, £134,300. One-time cash fee for membership, or you can waive the cash fee and sell your soul instead.
Ah.
Cool. Oh, this is good stuff, man. There is a collectible enema kit with Travis Barker's face on it. I can't believe what I'm seeing.
I cannot believe
what I'm seeing.
Also, like the hip flask, like, isn't the point of Liquid Death to sort of make water portable? What am I going to do? Decant it from my can into...
I've never had a problem with the portability of water in my 32 years on God's green earth. Have you? Is it all a joke? No, it's not a joke. I tell you it's not a joke because it's in my co-op. Like, it isn't some sort of big laugh, is it? Like, it exists in my local co-op.
And they're definitely placing it next to the likes of Monster, etc. So they are expecting this for, like, gamers and stuff. This is...
Oh, a gamer's just drinking a can of water.
Do you think if you took this blind... You'd be...
I'd know I was drinking Liquid Death.
The first time I had still water in a can, full stop, I thought it was odd. So designed like this will really throw me.
Can we both get a can of Liquid Death for our next recording?
Yeah, sure. I might buy you
a Liquid Death gift card for the birth of your second child.
Oh, so sweet.
And online, if you... you can get a loyalty card where you can collect skulls and exchange them for cool shit. Like what? Water? This is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
What a wonderful tangent we accidentally found ourselves on. Thank you,
Dan. 2.5 million followers on Instagram. Who are these guys?
This is a cult, right?
This is some bullshit. I don't know what's going on here.
Anyway, the Pink Panther goes around Europe. He's following Liquid Death on their tour. And he sees a piece of... I just think jewellery, like expensive jewellery and punk are sort of antithetical to one another.
Yeah, they go hand in hand.
So I think if I saw someone sort of blinged up in a punk gig, I think they'd stand out.
Yeah, I forgot the meaning of antithetical there. Now, John, can you give me a film idea?
Right, what about this one from Tony? Ratatouille Harvey Oswald. Spin on the classic JFK, but from Lee Harvey Oswald's perspective, which he doesn't say this in the description, but he's sort of implying that a rat killed John F. Kennedy.
I thought you were going to say there was a rat in John F. Kennedy's hair.
No, I think this is in Lee.
It's in Lee's. Okay, so a rat. And also, if you were trying to plead insanity, you would maybe say a rat made me do it, wouldn't you, in a way to try and get a shorter sentence. So maybe in an alternate history, Lee Harvey Oswald's taken to criminal trial and he pleads a rat made me do it, and he gets sent to an insane asylum. It's not a bad idea.
What if this is genuine, this conspiracy theory, which I think we're starting, and I'm looking forward to seeing on TikTok when I go into the depths of TikTok in a few months' time, people pushing this as real. Is there like an advantage that the rats have to a sort of an unstable America?
Well, I guess, so JFK was a Democrat. We're going real, real deep state nonsense here. JFK was a Democrat, and you would assume, therefore, was giving more money to public services, which would include waste removal. The rats want the more spendthrift Republicans in, so that there's more strikes because the union, there's more union-led strikes because they don't... Pay rises are fewer and further between in the public sector. There's less bin men on the street. There's more bins out there, John. There you go. As a result, a rat killed JFK.
I'm into it. I think this could work. Yeah.
It's pretty feasible.
Yeah, and also, I think, is pest control not also public service? Get rid of that?
Yep. I guess pest control is a public service. Although, rent-a-kill.
Oh, they've got private as well, of course. Don't get me wrong.
They're private. I what do you think the biggest beast rent-a-kill would kill is?
In like technically a capybara is a rodent, right?
Yeah, but I reckon Rentacle is a pretty different operation in Australia to, you know, to like a bloke in a little van in the UK coming around with a net.
Imagine you're Rentacle and you've got like a secondment to Australia. That's like going out to the trenches. It's like it's you against
your
nature.
Training is not going to get you far here. In the UK, what do you think you can get Rentacle to kill? Maybe sort of a spouse?
Is there a company called Rentacle? That feels very old fashioned.
Yeah, Rentacle. I saw a Rentacle van not the other day.
You'd think they'd call it like dispose of things. Like if you hired
Oh, great name.
If you hired Rentacle,
gotta call up dispose of things.
If you hired Rentacle because there was a bat in your loft, I don't think they're coming in and killing it, right? They're gonna get rid of it.
Rentacle is a British business services group based in Crawley. They should have called themselves Creepy Crawley. That would have been a better name. Because that's got to be a lot of what they deal with. Fleas, cockroaches, right?
That's very good.
I tell you, on the subject of Creepy Crawlies, I'm doing some dog sitting at the moment. And I don't know what to tell the owner because the dog's turned into a big snail. I took the dog to the little communal back garden last night. And there were more snails than I've ever seen in my life. I would say I could see 200 snails on the pavement. What do you think about that? What are they trying to? What do they know?
Is this after we push out the rat killed JFK?
I pretty successfully explained why a rat might be motivated to kill JFK. John, can you provide me an answer to why there's so many snails in my back garden?
Well, I've noticed a lot of snails, and it's definitely not season.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big snail stuff.
What is going? What do they know?
My son, and I don't want to throw him under the bus here. He's just over 2 years old.
How many snails has he eaten?
He's lovely. He wouldn't hurt a fly, but he
can confirm. I've met him. He's a lovely guy.
He wouldn't hurt a fly, but he will stamp on a snail if he sees it.
Wow.
And it's really hard to convince him that stamping on snails is a bad thing to do.
Oh, it's got such a satisfying crunch. What?
Sorry.
What does he say when he does it?
Me stomp it.
That's really funny. I mean, I can see why you're encouraging this behaviour, John.
No, Your Honour. Right, why would snails rise up? Are they they're sick of the fast, the speedy pace of life that 21st century has got?
They hate the speedy 21st century life we're living. They're trying to slow. That's good stuff. They're trying to slow it down. Maybe if enough snails crawled in the same direction, it would slowly reverse the way the Earth's spinning.
Here we go.
Is that good?
Yeah.
That could be it. How about this one from Martin? Ford versus Ferrari. The doyen of TV newscasting takes on the caustic voice of LBC in a battle of the airwaves. That is, of course, long retired Anna Ford. Mm. and wish she was long retired Nick Ferrari. Anna Ford is 79 years old. Nick Ferrari is 64. So it's kind of like an Expendables, but for British news personalities.
Yeah,
I don't mind it.
I didn't want to sort of, you know, I don't want to be ageist here, but I'm also slightly concerned about them driving fast vehicles, their age.
Maybe it's mobility scooters.
Here we go. Now we're cooking on gas.
They've been absolutely souped up. You know, ejector seats, machine guns, all that kind of jazz. But they are still driving at a snail's pace.
Sounds like they've been souped up with sort of Mario Kart style accessories, bananas, yeah, etc., shells.
Exactly. Nick Ferrari's got a big Luigi mustache. He's got an Italian surname, so you know.
That's true. Have you seen Ford versus Ferrari?
I haven't. No. Have you?
No. Ford aren't, because it's about them. It's about Formula One, right?
Yeah.
But Ford aren't currently a big name,
they're not big,
right?
Players. No, they're not. They haven't got a Formula One team at the moment.
Yeah, in my head, I don't see Ford. Like, the sort of branding of Ford is not a speedy car. Whereas the branding of Ferrari, big red car, car that you love
not,
as a kid.
It's not. It's about Le Mans.
Le Mans.
You should know about that. That's what happens in your backyard.
Or as we call it, the Mons. It's an old joke, but it always works, right?
Le Mans. What does Mons mean?
I think it's a place, isn't it?
You're right. It's a place. Yeah.
Phew, that could have been embarrassing. I could have gone,
it's a place.
It means that the eyes.
It means the car. No, that of course is voiture. Is that right?
Yeah, voiture.
No.
Yeah.
Voiture.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Wait.
I don't know where we go with this. To sort of
They're on mobility scooters. It's Le Mans, a 24-hour race. Yes. Basically, you get all the oldest news broadcasters in the UK on mobility scooters, and the last one, not to die, I wasn't going to say that. They drive for 24 hours straight, being fed only Werther's originals until one of them is the last one standing.
Are you pitching a Mr. Beast video here? I'm pretty sure I saw that on his channel.
That is kind of Mr. Beast, isn't it?
Joel sent me a Mr. Beast clip yesterday that was incredible.
John and I have become a little bit obsessed with Mr. Beast. I would say that John and I have been looking into how the best in the biz make their video content. And Mr. Beast is having to outdo, because he's become the biggest creator in the world, the only competition left is himself. So he's having to outdo himself with each YouTube video, I guess, because his audience are like 10 years old. And really, I guess what Mr. Beast is competing with is like cartoons where literally anything can happen. So he's just trying to create that reality. And so his most recent video is a $1 car versus a $100 million car. It is sort of the thing an 8-year-old boy says, isn't it?
Yeah, but also the editing, like...
Oh, the editing is unforgivable.
He goes, well, that's the $1 car. And then he cuts to go see the $100 million car, which is Jay Leno's car, for the record, which is odd. Yeah. But when it cuts from the $1 car to the... It just blows up for no reason.
It blows up. It looks like in the edit, like he's still in it. I think in that video, Mr. Beast dies four times. So what's going on? So there you go. It's essentially a Mr. Beast video, but instead of like, I get one person from every country on earth, he gets everyone, all of the old British newscasters in souped up mobility scooters. It's good stuff. Give me another film idea, John.
What about this one from Beck, Fangs of New York, which is sort of what we do in the shadows in some ways, right?
It is. Yeah.
Maybe like all of New York elite are vampires. Who's like a New York person?
Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, he's a vampire.
Rudy Giuliani is about his time as the mayor of New York City, and he was a ravenous vampire.
Rudy Giuliani, that time he did that press conference and he sort of like his hair dye started dripping from his head. Hair dye, or was it human blood?
Oh, yes. It's human blood. He would slick his hair back with thick human blood. And he was actually, no, what you were watching there, John, because he was outside in the hot, hot sun, he was actually beginning to melt.
Oh yeah, of course, outside of Four Seasons landscape. He thought he had picked the right place to make sure he was in the shade the whole time, but that was a Four Seasons hotel. Four Seasons total hotel. Landscaping was in the sun. Right, here's some famous New Yorkers. Trump, Diddy, Pacino, Jay-Z. I can't say Z, you wouldn't have known. De Niro, Cent, that's 50 Cent. Gaga, Keys, Hathaway, Fallon, Baldwin. I think that's enough people. Madonna.
Big city. And they're, okay, what you're saying is they're all vampires.
Yeah. It's like the Illuminati in New York. You have to be a vampire to get, you know, and that's why it's the city. Top.
Oh, nice. And so you almost like sell your soul.
Yeah.
Almost like you're becoming a Liquid Death Country Club member. You have to sell your soul to get to the very top. Like if you want to play Madison Square Gardens, only the vampires get in.
And that's why it's the city that never sleeps, because they're always out at night because they're all vampires.
Oh, that's so good. And the Big Apple is actually a big neck.
Big heart, maybe.
Big heart.
Bleeding heart.
Sense. Big bleeding
there isn't,
heart.
Joel, for the record, there isn't a Big Apple in New York. It's called the... just
what?
It's just...
Because I went, but I was only there for a couple of days, so I couldn't find it. But I'm assuming it's somewhere, right?
Well, yeah, I think maybe, yeah. Maybe next time you can check out the Big Apple.
There is... Apparently there's a... there's a soft play area in Rotherham called the Big Apple, so maybe I'll just go there instead. If you type in Big Apple on Google, it says Big Apple, New York City, and then Big Apple, Rotherham. Do you think anyone's ever clicked the second link by accident and gone on their dream holiday walking around Rotherham? So where is it they film Friends? Hey, John, would you like a film idea from me?
Yes, please.
Here's one from me. Nun Breakable. It's about a nun that can't be killed.
Yeah, would watch. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's a superhero nun.
So it's a good nun, not like an evil nun.
No, it's not the nun from the film The Nun. It's Whoopi Goldberg. Basically, it's Whoopi Goldberg, but she can't be killed.
I'm surprised Whoopi Goldberg hasn't appeared in a sort of superhero franchisey film as of yet.
Yeah.
So let's get her involved. Point. She's a Star Trekker, I know that, but I don't...
Yep.
I've never seen Unbreakable.
I've seen it.
M. Night Shyamalan. That's not how you pronounce his surname. Fuck it out. I'm sorry.
Shyamalan?
No.
Shyamalan? What's going on?
We
should state for the record that the process of starting this podcast was the most stressful thing I think either of us have ever been through. And it didn't, nothing worked. And we're actually not entirely convinced anything is still working.
Yeah.
And it was a horror show. And John, I swear to God, John joined the recording session and just went, like that, before I heard anything else. To give you an idea of where we are mentally. So really...
You're welcome.
You're welcome. The fact that anything's happened is an absolute touch. John, give me your idea.
This
Come on.
One comes from Netflix and the creative, renowned horror director, Mike Flanagan. It's called The Fall of the House of Usher. I think we all know where we're going with this.
Yeah, that's all I need.
He depicts Come the on. Events of the acclaimed R&B classic album, Confessions.
Great album.
Exactly. Mike Flanagan could definitely, you know... Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor, Confessions Part 2. You know, I think it's in it for him.
I'm into it.
Perfect.
Mike Flanagan, Usher, I'm into it. Usher's been out of the scene for a little while. Had a really funny cameo in the third series of Dave. So, look, he's available for acting work is all I'm saying. John, well done for eventually making it along today and being the consummate pro. If you had to pick a winner from the films we pitched today, which one would you pick?
Ratatouille, Harvey Oswald.
Absolutely. That's the one. That's the winner. And we need to go, actually, because the dog that I mentioned that I'm dog sitting earlier is coming into the room being driven by a rat. Well done, John.
Oh, what a nightmare. But we're here.
It was.
And
we're here.
We're alive and we're doing our silly podcast and hopefully... You're having a nice time, listener.
Yeah, exactly. John, how have you been? How's your week been? Talk to me about your anything culturally that you've consumed.
Nothing really like a big culture. But the one thing I would like to shout out, Joel, do you watch the videos of a man called Summoning Salt? He's quite big on YouTube.
Summoning Salt?
He basically does...
Like, I might have to do a bit of that, John, if any more bloody snails appear in my back garden.
He does about half-hour YouTube documentaries about speedrunning. So like the history of speedrunning video games.
Yeah.
And I'm currently in the middle of his latest one, but let me find the previous one he did that is just the greatest name for a YouTube video I've ever seen in my life, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So his previous, oh yeah, here we go. 3 weeks ago, he released a video called The Quest to Beat Jimmy Poopins.
I've been on that quest.
There's something I find so relaxing about his videos, just watching these people break video games, and it'll get to a point where you're like, there's no way that this guy can beat the record even farther on this speed run. And then he discovers some mad shortcut that just defies the laws of physics and everything blows open again. It's nuts. And I find it very relaxing. So yeah, definitely worth checking out if you're into sort of nerdy stuff. How about you, Joe?
Yeah. I'll definitely give that a go. I would say no. I watched the Big Dispatches program on Channel 4 on Saturday night. I assume you did too. It's kind of consumed my thoughts and life since then. It's for those who don't know what we're talking about, although I'm sure everyone does, it's the joint investigation by the Sunday Times and Channel 4 into Russell Brand's conduct over a 7 or 8 year period. Allegations of sexual assault and rape from the testimonies of 4 women on the program. I found it really harrowing and grim and grubby and awful. And I've almost found the reaction to it online like too much to deal with. I guess, and maybe it's my own fault to an extent, but I've become completely obsessed with like looking at the replies to every tweet about it. And I can't believe the amount of defense that there is online for him and criticism of the documentary, and it genuinely feels like some sort of alarming, terrifying cult, and I can't really get my head around it. And yeah, I don't know, I guess you can build an audience like that that would defend you no matter what, or have such like committed dismissal of what they call mainstream media.
Anyone who puts MSM in a comment, you know there's trouble.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. Like, I just can't believe that, you know, it's like, one, I would say, as someone who tangentially works in that industry. Like, it's one of the most incredible examples of like investigative journalism, and just the rigor and, you know, this 4-year investigation they've carried out. And if you look at the process behind it, and, you know, the just the number of sources and the amount that they've listened to and watched, and then you can just fire off a fucking tweet. And it's also, it's not just like bot usernames on Twitter. It's like fucking huge personalities that aren't even like fringe media personalities. You know, like people that host big shows on TV are just saying, nope, doesn't seem right to me. I smell a rat. And you think, fuck off. Like, it's really, I don't know. I found the whole thing really, really depressing.
You know, the, like all the journalists at the Times and Channel 4 who worked on this would have been preparing for this backlash. So it's so researched within an inch of its life. Everything is so watertight. Like, everything is corroborated and cross-referenced to within an inch of its life. It's, you know, and then, yeah, for people to be like, still, I don't trust the mainstream. You're just like, well, we've lost you. I don't know what we can say. Like, what we can say.
That's how I've been feeling really the last few days. Like, what do you do? You can't do anything for these people, can you? But and I guess I thought it was way more fringe than it appears to be. Or maybe it's just because that's what Twitter feeds you now. Or I would say that the feature of putting anyone that pays for Twitter Premium as the first replies to a tweet makes the website feel absolutely disgusting. Like, if you, again, if you look at any tweet that's had any sort of reasonable amount of engagement on this investigation, the first 50 to 100 replies are people that are paying for premium Twitter. They are people that you imagine sympathize with people like Elon Musk, who has tweeted in support of Russell Brand, and they are just like flooding the website with fucking shite. And I really am just thinking, now, what is the point in having it? Like, does it bring me any happiness? Is it good to be on there? Probably not. So fucking cesspit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think everything you've said is correct, and I agree. And hopefully all listeners of this podcast, even though we are a silly podcast that almost never talks about anything serious, sort of could tell from our general vibes how we feel about this sort of stuff. So we will continue with our stupid little silly podcast going forward. But if you are on the other side of this argument, you might want to get off now. And we thank you for listening, but, you know, goodbye.
Oh, yeah. If you're an innocent until proven guilty person on Twitter, you can fuck off. And if, look, we've never generated any money from this podcast, and you can somehow just sort of send the listeners back, that'd be really good. Yeah. But yeah, same time next week. Cheers, John.
See, what? No, that's such a sad way. We love you, listener. Thank you for listening.
We love our listeners so much.
You.
We love our listeners so much.
We will be really silly next week. And not very grumpy because of the fact that the recording went terribly.
Bye. We can't promise. John, we can't promise that.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.